The title of this morning's message is Identify Yourself. In one way or another, we identify who we are and what we're about, even if we don't say a word. It may be revealed in what we do, how we behave, but we always arrive at a place in life where a big banner sits over our heads telling everyone what we're all about. In the military, the Bible uses many military illustrations, and so I'm going to follow that course and of course, tell you about something else here. A sailor, a soldier, an airman. Each and every person at some point must identify himself or herself by their words and actions as to who they are and what they're for. You need to. You give an oath. This is who I am, and this is what I am willing to do for my country. You give an oath. Are you for country? If you are for country, are you willing to give your life for your country? And would you tell others, right? You're very proud of telling others. I remember the day when I went to the Navy and subjected myself to the training that was necessary to turn me from a civilian to a sailor, right? Orlando, Florida, September 26, 1988. I graduated in November of 1988, and I remember still another day when I made the choice of subjecting myself to another form of training necessary to equip me to go from a sailor to a diver, right? And it involved a voluntary choice. Things in life always involve, at some point, a choice. You may be going through the motions, and you haven't even chosen to go in that direction. There's a point in life where you have to make a choice and identify yourself with the direction that you're going in. And for me, it was a choice of identifying myself with this dive team, that I was willing to devote myself, to commit myself to that work that was before me. And for me at that time, it was school. It was dive school, very tough school. But I had to choose to identify myself in the diving field as a diver before I even went through the whole school. I wouldn't have made it through the trials. I definitely would have made it through the trials, through the tough times when things didn't look so good and glorious. I had to submit to authority, to the physical toughness that I had to endure. I had to learn diving physics and physiology and all of that and apply it. Now, did my identifying myself as a diver reveal to those that I was committed and devoted in that field? Maybe. Maybe not at that time. But my advancement started with a choice I made in my heart and what I purposed. There's an illustration here that applies to us as Christians. A man that at one point, a week into that training, almost quit, ended up graduating because I made that choice, because I committed, I devoted myself. I said, this is everything, all or none. A man that was about to quit ended up graduating top of the class. Everything else came from one choice I made. After months of training came graduation, July 13th, 1989. I stood in rank with all the rest of my classmates that had graduated, that had made it through. And I remember that we were given a pin. It was a very proud moment. We were given a pin. And that pin consisted, you know, it was the emblem of the diver, and it had a couple of sharp points on the back. And what they did as they gave us the pins, they removed the backs of them, and they gave us these pins. They tell us, go ahead and put it on your uniform. Okay. The only problem was that the instructors kept these lovely things. And so we put them on. our uniform. We stood in rank, and then, you know, after the ceremony, what happened was each instructor, they made a line, and they had big smiles on their faces. I didn't know why. And they went down the line, and I knew, I got it, as soon as I saw the first graduating student have their pin, I don't even know what they call it, punched into the chest. Yeah, because they want to make sure it sticks and you remain a diver, right? And so they punched it in. Well, that was the first instructor. Remember, there's like a whole row of them. And so they came through, and so they would, hit the pin into the chest, and then they would shake our hands, congratulations, 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 Montana. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Well, Chief Mac, he's about 6'4", big man, came up, and he says, well, since you're the top man, I'm going to go ahead and do something special. And he removed my pin and put it somewhere else. And then he reared back. And I did not feel the pin go in at all. I did feel the punch, though. And I'm so glad there was a wall behind me. Because those two hits were the ones that I felt the most. And but I tell you that for several reasons. One is that the last person that came through was my proctor. And for me, that was the man that challenged me to make a choice. And the day that I walked in and I told him, I want to quit, Chief Propster. I want to quit. I want to go back into the fleet. He told me, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Sleep on it, and tomorrow give me your decision. I said, okay. He sent in a bunch of guys that had already been in the fleet. And now we're going through dive school. And they convinced me to stay in the school and to make it through. But they told me it was going to have to be my choice. Because there are a lot of things that you're not going to like, that you're going to have to endure. But in the end, it's all worth it. And I remember going to Chief Propster, a very wise man, and saying, I'm in. I'm staying. It's good, Montana. I kind of figured you would. Sent me out. Choices in life. There are moments that we can go back in life and we can see those returning points in which I make us identify as to who we are. As with anything, whether it be school, sports, a job, a career, who you are and who you identify as being is it external evidence which supports an internal commitment. Baptism is not graduation, but it is an identification of ourselves as Christians, as people who identify as a person we profess to be Lord and Savior, our obedience to Him, and our identification in His death, His burial, in His resurrection. Doubt, lack of choice, is like those crawling ants on the back of your neck. They begin to bite you and remind you that what you're looking at may only be a facade. It may not be reality. If you're not willing to truly choose and identify yourself with the one you call Lord. Remember, you can't say no, Lord. Lord is Lord, right? You understand what I'm saying? You're saying, Jesus, just, I need fire protection. And so I'm going to call you Savior, but I'm not going to call you Lord. No, He must be Savior in your life, and he must be Lord. And if you call him Lord, then Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. So this morning, the whole purpose of this message is to bring you to a conclusion. Today is D-Day, is decision day. Today I am going to lead you to the water's edge. Today, I pray that you will identify yourself with Jesus Christ. It's decision time, brothers and sisters. It's no more playing around with the fact that obedience is a commandment. I mean, obedience, of course, it is a commandment, but baptism is a commandment. I believe that there are too many evangelical Christians today who are half-hearted and disobediently avoid baptism for one reason or another. And I would hate to think that it's because they want to leave a back door open just in case things get too tough. You know, again, going back to my situation, I left no back door open. I am serious when I say this, that in going through that training that I went through, I literally in my mind thought to myself, these guys are trained in CPR. These guys are trained. I put my whole trust in them, and I am willing to do whatever they tell me to do in order for me to make it through. For us, it's already done. Are you willing to give Christianity your everything? Not half-hearted. Do not leave a back door open when things get tough. Are you willing to give the Lord your all? And that includes being obedient in baptism. I challenge you this morning to get baptized. Be a New Testament believer. And that as soon as they professed to be now Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. I challenge you this morning to get baptized if you haven't. And identify yourself as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. Why? Because baptism is a covenant sign, an outward expression of an inward reality. It's a public declaration of your identification with Christ, and it symbolizes our identification with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Will you do this in obedience to Jesus Christ our Lord? Now allow me to walk this out for you in order for you to have a clear understanding, a complete understanding of what baptism is and what it's not. Very important to understand what it's not as well. Baptism, first of all, does not save you. And I ask you to turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 21, which says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, you may find it kind of weird that I would go to this verse, this text to tell you that baptism does not save you, because it appears in the text that baptism does save you, doesn't it? Okay. I bring you to that verse because, first of all, I want to make sure that you are clear in understanding this verse in context, because there are a lot of false religions that will look at this verse and take it completely out of context. That's why, first and foremost, as your pastor, I want to make sure that you look at this and understand it in context. The Church of Christ is one that looks at this and says, baptism is necessary for your salvation. It's a perversion of this text. They take it out of context. I want to point out to you verses 18 through 20. Verses 18 through 20, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. And I want to point out those verses because we want to make sure we look at this verse in its context. Noah and his family were saved through the floodwaters which consumed the earth. Likewise, it is God who brings us through the baptism of death in Jesus Christ through his resurrection into salvation. This is where, this is a little thing where we're going to lead into, for us, a breaking down of the sentence in a way in which it makes sense. This is for you who, I had mentioned deductive and inductive. This is where you start looking at the details, okay? Peter, by the way, wasn't confused or contradicting Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works." Underline that. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There is nothing that we can do to bring us to a point to where we deserve salvation. We cannot earn it. We cannot get to a point to where we deserve this salvation. It is simply having faith in God's grace alone. It's his gift for us, period. We don't earn it. Any works, including baptism, won't get us a ticket into heaven. The thief on the cross would have had a difficult time getting into paradise. Can you imagine the thief on the cross, right? Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," right? Okay, so he comes to the pearly gates and Peter's there, right? Because Peter's always there. And he says, "Hey, I'm here. I made it. You know, thank you, Jesus." And so Peter looks at him and he says, "Hey, you got your B ticket?" "B ticket? What are you talking about?" "Yeah. Were you baptized?" "My B ticket? My baptism ticket?" He says, "He didn't tell me anything about that. He says that it was just today you'll see me in paradise. I believed on him." It's him right there. He's sitting on the throne. Don't ever believe anyone who tells you that baptism is necessary to get into heaven. Jesus was correct when he told them, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today, today. The thief couldn't get down from the cross and be baptized. He was baptized with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Now the words which corresponds to this in the ESV is more closely translated to type or pattern. That's why I said that this baptism is like being brought through or brought forth through the floodwaters, which consumed everyone with death except for Noah and his family. They were brought forth through it by God's grace, period. Noah believed God, and his faith was what saved him by God's grace. Hebrews 11:7. You can refer to that. Also, baptism does not wash your sins away. Baptism itself, the very act of baptism, does not wash your sins away. The New American Standard, or the New King James Version, for those who have those translations, is a closer translation to the word used than the ESV uses. So that's why I refer to that. The ESV uses body, but the New King James and the New American Standard use the word flesh, which is sarx. That is the word that is used in the original language, sarx, that is flesh. What this does is that Peter further explains that this is a moral issue and not in the physical sense, a must, a standard. In other words, he's talking about, hey, listen, what you're doing is you're submerging the flesh, and the flesh is being brought to death in Christ Jesus, and you're being raised a whole new creation. Baptism, or an immersion in water, it symbolizes death, demonstrated in the drowning of the people who inhabited the earth during the flood. That's why the reference to Noah. Romans 6, 3 through 5 is an example of that Paul uses to illustrate the baptism in death in Christ, but also the resurrection. And we're going to read it in just a moment. If you were to remove the dependent clauses within 1 Peter 3:21, it would read like this. You'd remove them all. Baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Buried in death, raised in Christ, he is your salvation. Or you could say, being in Jesus Christ saves you from death because of his resurrection, defeating death. So, baptism doesn't save you, doesn't wash away your sins. Only abiding in Jesus Christ does, and his shed blood is what cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It covers you. No ceremony will save you. You are saved by faith alone and Christ alone and nothing else. Nothing. You cannot add anything else to help you. Let's suppose that a person, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because that's his job, by the way, the Holy Spirit is the one, he is the one that convicts sinners of their sin. He reveals it to them, right? So let's say a person who's convicted by the Holy Spirit believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and receives him as Savior, personally. Now, is that person saved? Of course he is. Let's take this a little further. So this person confesses his sinfulness, cries out in repentance to the Lord, and receives Jesus Christ as Savior. Then he walks across the street to a church to get baptized. But on his way to the church, while crossing the street, he gets struck by a car and he dies. Does he go to heaven or does he go to hell? He's confessed, he's repented of his sins, he's received Christ as Lord and Savior. Does he go to heaven or hell? Heaven. If he goes to heaven, then baptism is not necessary for salvation. If he goes to hell, then trusting in Jesus by faith alone is not enough for salvation. But that goes against Scripture. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And again, I repeat to you Ephesians 2:8-9, for it's worthy of repeating. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. No one. So baptism doesn't save you, nor does it wash away your sins. This is a free gift, again, I repeat, a free gift from God in his grace. Now, what baptism is? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote very clearly what's taken place by faith in God's grace, right? We referred to Romans 6, 3 through 5 earlier. I'm going to read it to you now, which says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this." Read that and really think about what's written there. Because just in reading it again, it just, man, I so look forward to the day being resurrected in a whole new body. Just to be in God's presence is just an amazing thought. But Paul also refers to this in his letter to the Colossians. He says in 2:12, "You in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." Baptism identifies you with the death, burial, in case I haven't said it, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Just jot that down. underline it. Make a note. Romans 6:3-5. The water symbolizes your death and burial as you go into it, and your resurrection and new life in Christ is symbolized as you rise from the water. That's why everyone claps. Because you're a whole new creation as you come out of the water. That's what it symbolizes. An outward expression of an inward reality. Baptism identifies you as being cleansed, washed of your sins by Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, it doesn't say if we confess our sins and are baptized, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says very clearly there, if we confess our sins. He hears. He knows. The water also symbolizes, through this, a cleansing of your sins. Something that Jesus Christ does. He does alone. We are washed clean by the Lord when we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And so baptism, again, is an outward expression of an inward reality. But you have to be led to the water. I'm leading you to the water this morning. Why be baptized? Well, out of obedience to Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And I want to read together what Scripture tells us we are to do. Matthew 28. Matthew 28:19-20. This is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. It doesn't say if you could, if you have time. That's a commandment. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Bible says, those are powerful words. When you start off any statement with the Bible says, we say that it's in the inspired, infallible, inerrant word that we trust, that we can place our lives on. And so I begin this statement with saying, the Bible says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. So followers of Jesus should do, very simply, should do what he wants them to do, you and I. Simple, right? It is really simple. So we do what Jesus does and tells us to do. Jesus was baptized. He was baptized. Jesus commanded his disciples to be baptized. Yes, he did. We just read it, right? Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize others who believe on him. Yes. When we love Jesus, we want to follow him and do what he commands us to do. Right? It's like a Sunday school. It's very simple. I think sometimes we as humans, we complicate things. Like, well, let me read this a little further or one more time and see if he really means what I think he means, but he might mean something else because today's Tuesday, it's not Monday, and there's different circumstances in my life which may make it relevant in a different way to me today than it did yesterday. We come up with all kinds of stuff, right? It just simply comes down to this, being obedient to the Word of God. He commands that everyone who chooses to identify themselves as Christians and follow him are to be baptized. Why should we be baptized? Out of obedience to the one we call Lord. Simple, done. Okay, I'm going to lead you to the water. A little more. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I want to read to you a couple of stories. You've heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Sadly, with Christians, sometimes you can point out what is very obvious and what needs to be done out of obedience to God, and they still won't do it. I pray that within this body, this church, we're not such people. That's why I keep driving it home. Please, folks, brothers and sisters, be obedient to the word of God. Let me put it to you very plainly. I don't want to complicate it. You know, my own study could like go in really deep, but let me just give it to you really plain and simple. I'm going to lead you to the water. Please allow me the time, and I pray that you listen closely to the stories I'm about to read to you in Scripture. The Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he was reading the book. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water." The eunuch said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I only know of one other person in this room who in the same day they were saved, were baptized. That commonly happened all the time in New Testament times. Allow me to read to you another story. The Bible says, according to Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight. By the way, Paul and Silas were in jail when they were doing this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Believe in the Lord Jesus. Remember that. I'm going to ask you at the end of this message, if that's where you are, you're willing to repent of your sins, cry out to the Lord and ask him to forgive you of those sins. Do you believe on Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior? So that's simply what he said. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then listen to this. This is what takes place after baptism. Then he brought them up into his house, at least that's what we do, and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Today, if no one's baptized, it's just going to be a nice barbecue. But I pray it's a celebration. I really do. Baptism is also a witness to those around you. It's, I identify myself today as a Christian. There's something that happens when people see that. It's like, wow, my son, my daughter, my brother, my husband, my wife is serious about this. They're willing to fully identify themselves with Jesus Christ. It's a powerful witness. Now, I've led you to the water's edge. Some of you have not been baptized. I pray today is the day. And now, I'm going to be very upfront with you. Your obedience is questioned. I tell you, I challenge you every time. Today is no different. Your obedience is challenged. I'm going to throw out the gauntlet. Okay? Today, no matter if you have clothes or not, you have 1 hour to get to the Bonilla home, 22518 Cardinal Street, Grand Terrace. And the decision is today. Will you identify with Jesus Christ? Remember, it's hard enough to live fully committed to Christ. But when you leave that back door open, no, you leave the back door open to the enemy's schemes and his plans in your life. And you're half-hearted. For those of you who have not invited Jesus Christ into your heart, I'll tell you that today you can be baptized. Today. You can be like that Ethiopian eunuch and the Philippian jailer. The Ethiopian eunuch said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Right? The Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" Believe. 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 They were immediately baptized. And again, you can be baptized today. Simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. That's what Romans 10:9 says. Acts 4:12 says, these are beautiful words, and there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is today the day for you? Are you willing to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I have not been obedient to you. If you're a Christian, if you've professed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and he is your Savior, you've been walking with him and you have not been baptized, then quite frankly, you've been disobedient. And so this morning, if you're sincere about your relationship with the Lord, then today I call you on it. And I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you. Because if you're sure about your salvation and who you identify with, then make it complete. This morning, just get baptized. I explained to you what it was and what it wasn't. Right? Was I clear on that? Okay. Because I'm challenging you on this, just as I would challenge you in any other section of the Bible, to be obedient to it, to bring glory to the Lord. And now in a moment, I'll give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ if you haven't this morning as Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're also, by the way, having a time of communion. This morning is D-Day. You know, maybe your palms are sweating and you're not sure what you're going to do. This morning, I'm just going to tell you, if you have not been baptized, and it could be anything else in your life, okay? And today, you want to make that stand. The first stand is going to be here this morning. You're going to just confess to the Lord, and I'd love to pray over you. If that's you, then I pray that you would just stand to your feet right now and just come forward and be counted with Christ and identified in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'll see you at 11:30 in the baptism. But first of all, just stand up and come to the front, and let's all rejoice together and pray. And I'd like to pray over you. That's you. Just stand up, come forward. This morning for Jesus Christ, pray that you would do that now. This is the best place right now in church. Anyone else that has not been baptized? I'm saying that because it's just identifying with Christ and saying, he is my Lord. He is my salvation. And I'm willing to go all the way with him. All the way. I'm willing to be completely obedient to what he calls me to do. I'm truly willing to surrender my life completely to him. If that's you, don't waste any time. Come. Down to the Holy One. morning, if you find yourself here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you understand that your sin separates you from a relationship with our Father, our Creator. And you know that the Lord's tugging on your heart this morning. You simply need to repent, to confess your sin to the Lord. Agree with Him that you're a sinner. And repent of that sin. That means turn from it. And then you call on Him, on Jesus Christ, and ask Him into your life. Ask Him to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sin, to write your name in the book of life, and have the hope of forever being in the presence of God's glory thereafter. If that's you, then I would invite you at this time to make a stand and come forward as well. Is that you this morning? Have you not surrendered your life to Christ? If that's you, come forward and identify yourself with your Savior, Jesus Christ. I would say congratulations, because this is a huge step. I remember the time that I gave my life to the Lord, and I made the choice to be baptized. That it was the defining moment in my relationship with the Lord, you know. And so I would say congratulations. And we're all going to rejoice and celebrate in this, again, external, this expression of an inward reality, of a surrendered heart to the Lord. And so let me pray for you, okay? You can stay where you are. Father, we come to you this morning, and Father, the world around us, they insist that they need to be heard, and that they can express themselves in whichever way they choose. And we know that there's a spiritual battle that is taking place in the world. Lord, this is our expression. This is our identifying with you. Lord, first of all, we thank you for going to the cross. Lord Jesus, you are our salvation. You are the one that on that ugly, that hideous symbol, Lord, turned it from something upon which you received all the sin, past, present, and future of everyone. Lord, you took it upon yourself, and it was a dark, dark day. But Lord, you also died on that cross. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose from the grave, defeating sin. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to express to the world, to express to others that we trust in you, we believe in you, we identify with you, we abide in you through this expression of baptism. And so, Lord, I pray for these who have made the decision to be baptized, Lord. I know that they have already placed their trust in you. I just ask that you would, Lord, just continually remind them of who you are in their lives. That you reign in their hearts and you make them bold witnesses for your glory. And so, Father, I thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.